Would you please turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. As you do so, I'll take this opportunity to express my gratitude to Brother Chris McCracken, Brother Brian Gilliam, for their willingness to fill in and preaching this past Sunday while I was gone. I was able to preach in Nashville at the Campbell Road Church, and those brethren send their regards to you here. Moses is giving his farewell address to the children of Israel. He's dedicated his life, or much of his life, to them and to their welfare, and he wants the nation to endure. He knows the nation cannot endure unless there is a future for the family in that nation. I want you to notice what he has to say in our text as he relates to the people God's will or God's words in verse 29. He says, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments," or keep my commandments always, "that it may be well with them and with their sons forever." I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments about the future for the family. And I'm sorry to say that it may not be well for our families in our nation in days to come unless there is some radical change that people are willing to make. The statistics that experts offer about the future of the family is not all that encouraging. There are 100,000 children in our prisons. 40% of our children live in broken homes. 1 million girls between the ages of 12 and 17 will become pregnant this year. That means 1 million boys are engaged in activities that they ought not to be engaged in. One out of five children use drugs twice a week. Our children have a difficult way to navigate through this life. And God's answer to their needs is still found in His Word, where He tells His people today, those who are parents, that for their children they ought to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, following our text in Deuteronomy chapter 5 comes, not surprisingly, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the first 9 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 6, there is a great declaration about the future of Israel's families. It's a wonderful lesson for the future of our own families. The Bible tells us, of course, that these things written in the Old Testament were written for our learning. That the things that happened to the Old Testament people happened by way of example to us. And so we would do well to learn some lessons from what God has said to His people, to His nation, Israel, about the future for their families. There are principles there that we can learn that will help us regarding the future for our families. Read, if you would, please, with me from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 and following. It says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going to possess it." Now listen. "So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying, listen to this, so that there will be a future for the family. For you, your son, and your grandsons. Now, here's the instruction that they are to listen to in verses 3 and following. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. These are familiar verses to you, I suspect. They are certainly familiar verses to the children of Israel. These were words that were impressed upon the minds of children as they grew up. They could quote these verses. And these verses tell us three important things about a future for our families. And the first thing they tell us is that a future for the family is promised. If you look there in verses 1 and 2 again, particularly in verse 2, as we've read, he says, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I commanded you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. God has promised a future for the family. And it starts, he says, with the parents. It starts with the father and the mother. Plato has said, the life of a nation is the life of a family written large. It's just another way of saying that as the family goes, so goes the nation. We have many kinds of sayings ourselves that give at least lip service to this. But what the scriptures tell us is it's a fundamental truth. It's a fundamental fact that a nation comprised of families is going to prosper. Its welfare is going to be determined based upon the welfare of its families. Someone else has written that a juvenile delinquent often is just a child trying to act like its parents. What we need to understand is that is often. That generally is the rule. There are exceptions, but generally, our children are going to grow up and behave like they have seen exhibited in their homes. But God says to us, He said to His people Israel, there is a future for the family. It begins with the parents. But if there is a future for the family, there is also, he says, a foundation for the family. That is, a foundation for the family is provided. That upon which a family can build and be built is provided. Look at verses 3 through 5 again, where he tells them to be careful and do it. That is, to do the things that they have heard commanded from him. That it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly. Verse 4, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Now, here's the foundation for the family. It is love for God. Look in verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Love God with all your hearts. Who? Moms and dads, that's who. The ones that this all begins with. Moms and dads, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Now, if you do not love God with all your heart, You don't have a chance of having what the Bible describes as being a successful family. Now, some might say, well, oh, but David, don't you understand? There are a lot of people that don't love God, that don't serve God, but they're very successful families. I mean, they're prosperous financially. They are close-knit with one another. There's genuine love that exists between the children and the parents and between the husband and the wife. Yes, I know all of that exists among people who don't particularly even have belief in God. But that's not what the Scriptures describe as being a successful family. Let me give you a new definition, if you haven't already heard it, of what failure is. Failure is succeeding at the wrong things. Now, there are families that can succeed at generating a loving, nurturing atmosphere within their homes. They can succeed financially. They can succeed in many ways and in many things. But if they have no love for God, if that is not being promoted within that home life, then they're going to be succeeding at wrong things. They're going to miss out. A lot of times we talk about climbing the ladder of success. The tragedy is, as you climb the ladder of success, is if you get to the top and you find out it's been leaned against the wrong wall. We need to place our ladders that we are climbing in the proper places. And that's what God is trying to say to His people. That's what He's instructing them about here, about having a future for the family. It involves this foundational principle. Love the Lord your God, mom and dads, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Many, many children are turned off regarding things of God and religion because they see parents who profess religion but lack a sincere love for God. And that's the very first thing that God says when He describes this foundation for the family. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's a sincere love. A love of God that is done with all of the heart of a man and a woman. But not only are we to love God sincerely, these verses tell us also we are to love God selflessly. Love the Lord your God with all your soul. Children need to see parents with such integrity that there is no place marked off in their life, private property, God, keep out. They need to see moms and dads who have such integrity, such a sincere and a selfless love for God that every aspect of their life is welcoming to God's presence. They should see parents that bring God into their family life, that bring God into their family recreation, that bring God into their business, into their career. Every aspect of a mother and father's life ought to demonstrate that with all of their soul, they love God. If you want to build a family that has a future, then you build it upon this principle: sincere love for God, love with all your heart, and selfless love for God, love with all your soul. And then also a strong love for God, love with all your might, with your physical strength, with your emotional strength, with your intellectual strength. Every aspect of your strength devoted to God. And that will go a very long way towards building a family that really does have a future. But now, if the family has the promise of a future, and if the family has a provided foundation for its future, there is also in these verses indicated a formula for the family. that is a formula for the family's future, is prescribed. Now, parents, this is where you need to tune in, because God says that your faith is to go from you to your children. That's what these verses are about, the transfer of one's faith from themselves to their children. Now, you've heard it said, I know, that God has no grandchildren. And a lot of times, what young people unfortunately think is that because I've got good parents and they're good Christians, that somehow that's going to just transfer right over to me, and I'm going to kind of go on their coattails into heaven. Well, God has no grandchildren. God only has children. And the faith of a young person must become that young person's own faith. But where do they get that faith from? And what this text is telling us is that when God spoke to Israel about the future for the family in that nation, He spoke about parents who were working to transfer their faith, that genuine faith, that sincere, that strong, that selfless faith, to transfer that to the lives of their sons and daughters, so that it becomes in them sincere and strong and selfless as well. Now, how does that happen? How do parents achieve this in their lives? Well, I want you to look with me at the remaining verses, verses 6 through 9, where there we find Moses giving instructions to this nation of people about how within their families faith could be transferred from their parents, from the parents to their children. Moses says, first of all, you are to do this convincingly. You can only achieve this by transferring, or by rather communicating to your children in a convincing way, that your faith is genuine, that it is strong, that it is selfless, that it is that which is sincere. Look in verse 6. He says, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. May I tell you this? If you're a phony, the first people that are going to see it will be those that are the closest to you. Your children will spot you as a phony, if you are a phony. Now, my children know that I'm not perfect. And I suspect that your children know that you're not perfect. But I'm talking about not being an imperfect person. I'm talking about being a phony person. I'm talking about being a person who is hypocritical, who wears the mask of hypocrisy. Children will spot that. So we must, in our efforts to communicate our faith to our children, we must do it in a convincing fashion, not just playing a part, not just acting, putting on a show. I've told you here before, you know, that a hypocrite is somebody who's just not himself on Sunday. You follow him or her. You follow them Monday and Tuesday and the rest of the week, and you'll see who they are. They're just not themselves on Sunday. Children will see that. But not only does Moses say, do this convincingly, he also says, do it consistently. Look in verse 7. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Teach them how? Teach them diligently. The problem is that, I'm afraid, in some instances, is we take this religion thing kind of sporadically. We get, maybe something happens, or for whatever reason, a father and a mother kind of get directed towards, well, religion. Okay, well, that's a good thing. That's something we need to do. And so for a period of time, that takes kind of a prominent place in their home life. But then the interest wanes and the things that were being done cease to be done. And then maybe on down the road a little bit further, once again the interest peaks and activity in those religious things resumes for a while. But that's not what the picture that we're having described here, is it? That is not what Moses told the people. He said, you teach them these things diligently. There is a consistency about this instruction. We don't start and stop and then start and stop again. Children need the constancy of this diligent instruction. They need it most desperately in their instruction about God. But not only must we do it convincingly and do it consistently, but also we need to do it conversationally. Look again in verse 7. He says, talk of them. Let this be a matter of discussion. What do you talk about with your kids? Talk about the ball games? School? I guess maybe I ought to start by asking, do you talk to them? In this day and time, that doesn't happen a lot. But assuming you do talk to them, what do you talk to them about? Say, okay, here comes the preacher. He's going to tell us. You need to sit down and talk Bible with them. Well, yes. I'm not telling you don't talk sports. Or don't talk about school. Or don't talk about the boyfriend or the girlfriend. I'm not saying don't talk about other things. I am saying, however, do talk about the Bible some. Find the occasions to work it into the conversation. If we're going to truly transfer this faith of ours that is genuinely held, it's going to require that we talk of them. That is, the teachings of this faith. Your children need to hear you talk to them about God. I mean, why should they think that God is important to you if you don't ever talk to them about Him? They understand the angels are important, or the Dodgers. They understand that school is important to you and how they're doing if you're talking to them about those things. They need to understand that God is important to you, and it requires that you talk to them about that. Well, we also need to speak to them conspicuously. That is, we need to go about transferring this faith, making this effort of transferring our faith in a conspicuous fashion. Look in verse 8. He says, you shall bind them. What is the them still are the teachings, the things that have been revealed. He says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, the Jews did an interesting thing with this. They took it literally. And I suppose there's nothing wrong with this, but I do believe there is a deeper meaning to these verses. But what the Jews did was they fashioned what they called phylacteries. And it was just a box, a small box. And they would put copies of scriptures, miniature copies of scriptures within that box. And they would take that box and they would tie it with leather straps around their head. And sometimes you'll see today Hasidic Jews, those that are trying to in a conservative way, follow the law of Moses. You'll see them even today sometimes with a box tied upon the front of their head. Or sometimes they would wrap it around their forearm and have the box on their hand. Copy of Scripture inside. Why do they do that? Well, they do it because of these verses. Bind them as a sign upon your hand, as frontals upon your forehead. They would also take items and even either engrave or maybe another box in some form with scripture inside of it and literally put it upon their doorpost or put it upon the gates leading into their property. They took this in this very literalistic sense. But as I said, I believe that it has a deeper meaning than this. And the point that the Lord was making to the families of His nation here was, make my words conspicuous in your home. Make it something that you talk about, something that is commonly a part. When was the last time your children walked in the room and caught you reading the Bible? Is it something that we do often enough? Is it something that is important enough to us to be doing? I mean, do they catch us doing that as often as they see us reading the newspaper? Maybe these days, maybe you don't read the newspaper. Maybe you're on the internet reading the copy of newspapers off of the internet. Or do they find us reading God's Word and studying God's Word as much as they find us reading the latest novel? Now, please don't go away from here saying, well, you know, David told us today we shouldn't be reading the newspaper, we shouldn't be reading novels. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm just asking, are you finding enough time for God's Word and the reading of God's Word? Does it have a conspicuous place in your home life? If you want a future for your family, then God's Word is going to have such a place in your life. And you and I are going to have to be a people who live it out convincingly, who speak of it consistently, who do talk about it. We converse about it. And then we make it a conspicuous part of our life. That's the only future for the family in this nation or any nation. Are you a child of God? If you're not, perhaps you've had the great privilege of growing up in a house where these things are so, and you have seen all of this demonstrated before your life. Then why don't you take this opportunity to let that great influence in your life have the effect that it is intended to have and lead you to the Lord? Or maybe you didn't grow up with this kind of influence in your life. Maybe it was absent. May I say this to you? The greatest thing you could do then is to turn to the Lord and to begin in your life this kind of a tradition, this kind of a practice, and allow your influence on succeeding generations to exert this kind of impact upon them. Maybe you didn't have it. That doesn't mean that you must pass on then the lack of such a good influence. Make it different. The way you can do that is by giving your obedience to Jesus Christ and His teachings. Teachings that required men and women to have faith that He is the Son of God. Turning away from sins because of their faith in Christ, these people would confess their faith. And confessing it, they would be baptized to wash away the guilt of their sins. Would you do that today? We pray you will, while we stand and sing.